Why have I asked my HVAC guy I found on Angie.com to change my grandpa's trachea tube? Because I was so amazed by how quickly he replaced our air ducts. I knew I could trust him to change Pop-Pop's tube while I was on vacation.
Make it quick, young man.
Aw, see? Pop-Pop trusts you.
I think we should call a doctor.
Connecting homeowners with skilled pros for over 30 years. Angie, the one you trust to find the ones you trust. Find pros for all your home projects at Angie.com.
Spring is finally here, and it's that time of year when plans start becoming real. Trips are getting booked, the calendar is filling up, and the energy is shifting. Make this season count. By starting right now, you'll hit summer already feeling more confident speaking and understanding a brand new language. Whether you're prepping for a dream vacation, reconnecting with your family heritage, or just finally checking learn a new language off your bucket list, Rosetta Stone is the way to go. They've been the trusted leader in language learning for over 30 years because they skip the boring stuff. There's no memorizing random vocabulary lists or leaning on chunky translations. Instead, their intuitive method helps you naturally absorb the language by connecting words and visuals to real-world meaning. It's about learning in context, the way language was actually meant to be learned. As a trusted expert with millions of users, Rosetta Stone offers 25 different languages, including Spanish, French, German, Japanese, and more. It really is the ultimate tool for genuine growth. Ready to start learning a new language this spring? Visit rosettastone.com/rs10 today to explore Rosetta Stone and choose the language that's right for you. Go to rosettastone.com/rs10 now and begin your language learning journey.
Add WFAN to your contacts to talk New York sports with us at 888-808-1019, powered by AT&T Business.
Yes, sir. Inside the 10 o'clock hour on The Fan in New York, Keith McPherson, your nighttime host, taking your calls, talking sports. But right now, I have a guest, and I haven't been having too many guests on because I want all the time and I want to give you guys the time. But this is a time to bring back Disha Thosar. She's a writer. She covers the Mets and the Yankees a little bit for Fox Sports, and she's just been around the game, and she's somebody I respect and a friend of mine. Welcome back, D.
What's up, Keith? Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, I'm watching the game, the Met game. They're up 12-2, so we'll wait on the Mets conversation. And I've been kind of, you know, putting it out there with the grimace stuff. The Yankees, I have a little bit of breaking news. I saw Hubs from Barstool found a picture of Oswald Peraza in New York City today. And he said, would seem to be the move to get another infielder in there. And Max Goodman just quote tweeted and said, yes, Oswald Peraza being in NYC today is relevant with Anthony Rizzo's injury news. So we just spent the first 3 hours of my show talking about whether the Yankees were going to pick up somebody DFA'd like a Jose Abreu or J.D. Davis just got DFA'd, or whether they were going to make a trade or whether they were going to call up Ben Rice. What do you think that they're going to do here with Anthony Rizzo going down for the next 6 to 8 weeks and more than a few issues in that infield?
Yeah, I think they have to wait a little bit. I don't think it makes too much sense to panic and make a big move for somebody like an Abreu or a J.D. Davis. I think those options would be interesting for the Yankees. They can possibly make it work with very little to lose, but I think just having a sort of a panic decision, they can hold off. They have a big lead. This was a bad series in Boston, of course, but they're going to fix those issues. I think, of course, all those steals on the base paths was the biggest takeaway, more so than Rizzo's injury, because he has struggled all year. And really, he said he's been close for most of the second half of the season so far, and really nothing had changed at the plate for him. So if he hadn't gotten injured, I'm not sure how much longer of a leash they would have even given him. So I know for some Yankees fans, this isn't the worst injury, but I think they got to figure something out, at least with Peraza. If he gets a good runway, that's huge. He really has to start making the most of his opportunities now, because he can really take it and run with it if he can.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm right there with you as far as like, try and solve this issue in the meantime in-house. Don't make any quick decisions to pick up a veteran outside the organization or bring up a young guy that's never played in the show and say, yep, it's your time, young man. It's time for you to, you know, join this first place team that's in the middle of a battle with the Orioles this week. Like, no, nah, I don't think this gauntlet that they're facing in June is the time to throw a guy like Ben Rice into the mix. Like you said, I think Oswald Peraza he's been, you know, up. He was in the ALCS 2 years ago. He's been up and down. And I think when you add him to the mix, we obviously know he was a shortstop coming up. He's played third base. He could even play second base. And that makes me believe DJ LeMahieu will now be the everyday first baseman, and there might be some type of platoon situation between Oswaldo Cabrera at third base, Peraza, and maybe even getting Gleyber Torres out of there. So let's talk Gleyber for a second. This is where I'm at as a Gleyber Torres fan, as somebody that watched the kid come up. I always reference that he was the MVP of the Arizona Fall League when I first was hearing about Gleyber Torres. He's supposed to be a stud. They talked about him being the likes of Fernando Tatis Jr., Ronald Acuna Jr., Juan Soto as the next young faces of baseball, and it just never materialized. They wanted him to be the Yankee shortstop. He's not that, and now he's just a liability at second base with his glove and not giving you enough at the plate. And I think this is the end of the rope for Gleyber Torres. He's been a problem at second base, and I don't think there's any way the Yankees bring him back. But do you think there's a shot that they can trade him for anything at the deadline? Like, I just think that it's run its course. It's over.
Yeah, I mean, I really feel for Gleyber. He's always mentioned in trade rumors almost annually. He's been floated around, even when he's been a productive hitter for the Yankees. I know fans like to get on him, but he's been an above-average hitter at the plate for all these consecutive seasons. I think he got aided a little bit in 2019 with the juice ball. He had 38 home runs, which now sounds wild to think Gleyber could get 38 home runs. But really, he's been solid up until his contract year, and I think that's a little bit what's happening across town with Pete Alonso. I think of some of these players, really, it's so mental in baseball. And if you let these things get to you, they're going to get to you. And I had high hopes for him in the beginning of the season when he was buddy with Juan Soto. All of spring training, I saw them together. Soto was really giving him a lot of tips. I thought this was going to be a huge season for Gleyber. And really, it's a little bizarre what's happening. I think even his defense, it's funny, it's better this year than last. It doesn't seem like it, but that's kind of his all-around play. So, yeah, I think the Rizzo injury does give the Yankees a little bit of room to play around. I think they have to now trade him. I think there's going to be teams interested for sure. He's proven that he can be consistent besides this year, a little change of scenery. I could see a team definitely going for him. Not sure what kind of return the Yankees would get back, because they do need a second baseman in case Peraza doesn't work out. And that's not a great market right now either. We're talking about guys like Jonathan India potentially, who could be a good fit, but that's just really taking a chance. So it's a little disappointing that this whole Gleyber run hasn't worked out for the Yankees. If it is the end of an era, I think you have to give him props up until this point for really sticking with it. I mean, fans get on him. He shows up the same every day. He was highly touted, like you said. That's another point with the Yankees organization, that there are so many players that come up, which we hear so much about. Volpe's working out this season, but really beyond Judge, there was Gary Sanchez. He fizzled out. This is happening a lot to them. Peraza could be the next. So that might be what to look at next if Gleyber is really traded away this summer.
Oh, yeah. There's a long list. Yankee fans can rattle off Miguel Andujar, Greg Bird. Like, we could just go through the name. Clint Frazier. There's so many guys that were supposed to be something and never materialized. It is what it is with Gleyber. And I mean, I don't know what's going to happen. But last thing on the Yankees before we transition to the Mets, we're on the phone with Disha Thosar. She's an MLB reporter for Fox Sports, covering the Mets, covering the Yankees, covering the entire game. You know, there's a lot of talk about the Yankees bullpen, specifically Clay Holmes as the closer. He's the closer. He's the guy. They changed his intro so that they make the stadium dark when it's a night game. I still don't know the song that he comes out to. I think I Googled it and looked it up. It doesn't matter. It's never going to be in one of my playlists. But he's the guy. He's the closer for the New York Yankees, and he's one of the better closers in baseball. But he's just, I don't know, he's not Mariano. So Yankee fans are not satisfied with him. I expect Cashman to make moves at the deadline, but I don't think that they're going to find a better closer. Maybe they find another option. But what do you think about the Yankees bullpen, the Yankees adding to it, and what they'll do with Clay Holmes being the last guy to get the ball?
Whoa, okay. This one says you get a free phone if you switch. Hey, this one also says you get a free phone if you switch.
Yeah, they all do, hon.
Huh. The T-Mobile one says their customers had the lowest wireless bills versus the other big guys over the past 5 years. And their latest experience plans have Netflix included, plus a year of Dash Pass by DoorDash.
Mm-mm-mm. Hang on, let me see that. Oh yeah, we're switching.
That's what I'm talking about. Do we clap now, or...
At T-Mobile, get savings that keep stacking up. That's value you can feel every day. And right now, bring your phone to T-Mobile and we'll give you $400 when you switch.
Savings based on Harris X billing snapshots from Q3 2021 to Q4 2025 compared to average AT&T and Verizon bills. Comparison excludes discounts, credits, and optional charges. $400 with new account on qualifying line. Unlocked device credit ported 90 plus days with device and carrier and timely redemption required. Virtual MasterCard typically takes 14 weeks, no cash access, and expires in 6 months. Card issued by Sunrise Banks N.A. member FDIC. Visit T-Mobile.com.
Yeah, Clay Holmes is not the problem of the Yankees bullpen. I agree with you. His song, I mean, really puts me to sleep. If it works for him, it works for him. He's top three closer in the league right now, so sure, go for it. But the problem with the Yankees bullpen is they don't have enough left-handers, and Caleb Ferguson isn't really working out. He's had a good couple of performances the last couple of outings, but besides that, they need some lefty help, and who I really think will make sense for the Yankees, and I think Cashman should go for, is Tanner Scott on the Marlins. He's not getting enough save opportunities in Miami. Certainly the Yankees are not going to be the only one going after him, but I like how calm, cool, and collected he is. Really, he barely ever gets rattled. He just had one bad appearance against the Mets, who've been on a roll, so that could be a different conversation. But they really have to center around a setup man that will make going to Clay Holmes feel better. There is some shakiness, but I think it is overall just an overtaxed bullpen. And it's really not even Boone's. Everyone gets on Boone, too, for his management. I think he's doing a solid job. They're just running out of dependable options. So in that way, yeah, they definitely need help. Bullpen's going to be every contender adds a relief arm. It's going to be a hot market. I think they have to go for someone like Tanner Scott. Or a Mason Miller could be great if he gets strikeouts that quickly. He's been so dominant for the A's. He's definitely going to be traded. I don't know if the Yankees would go for him, but he could be a good fit too.
Yeah, I just was saying, they played 13 games in 13 days. Like, I don't know what people expect. The bullpen is somewhat banged up. It's in flux. It's ever changing, ever evolving. It is what it is. But that's a good segue to the Mets bullpen, as I see Adam Ottavino warming up. I don't know if we're talking enough about the Mets bullpen since Jorge Lopez threw his glove into the stands, since Edwin Diaz has come back, right? The way you lose games, the way you blow games that you have a lead, is your bullpen not holding. The Mets bullpen has been holding. And I tip my cap to Carlos Mendoza as well as David Stearns, because they said they have standards there. And if guys aren't producing, they're not playing. And they have made some changes and sent some guys packing. And now they're getting the results that they want.
Yep, exactly. And you said it, Carlos Mendoza. It reminds me of Buck Showalter's first season with the Mets in 2022. That was when they got 101 wins and got to the wild card, the playoffs, for the first time in years, because he could just hit the button. Diaz would come out. It was like a video game. The most dependable closer that year. I've never seen anyone as dominant, maybe since Mariano. And that they just lost that. Ever since Diaz has had issues, he had a shoulder injury. He was really in his head. Now he's coming back strong. And that really is the key to this bullpen. Everything else falls in line when you have someone as dependable as Diaz back there. You can't blame Mendoza. He was trying to do the best he can. And for a first-year manager, I think he's doing really well. But yeah, this bullpen situation when he was gone, the Mets were leading in the eighth inning or later, the most in the league, and gave up the most losses, blow-off losses after that. So they really needed to figure it out. It's good that everything's coming together. More than the bullpen, I think what's working for the pitching staff is the return of Alvarez. It really goes under the radar how much in charge he is back there, but the entire pitching staff just feels settled when he's calling a game. So now he's back from injury. Everything is kind of working out for this Mets team right now.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned him, because my next question was going to be, what's the biggest cause of change? Is it Grimace throwing out the first pitch on June 12th, or is it Francisco Alvarez coming back, Edwin Diaz coming back, the lineup changing? There's a few different ways you could go with this Mets team. The team meeting that they had, I think, was huge. J.D. Martinez and him going crazy, hitting the ball out. You know, what do you think it really is? Maybe Francisco Alvarez is the answer.
Yeah, I think it's a little bit of all of it. I like that you mentioned Grimace, because really it's silly. We can make fun of it, but the Mets franchise is a team that is built on their quirkiness, their weirdness, their odd, they're the lovable losers. They have to lean into that. I mean, that is just their identity until they prove otherwise. Mm-hmm. And that's sort of what they're doing. And I liked what J.D. Martinez said during that team meeting that they had a few weeks back, was the pressure's on the rest of the league now. The Mets can play loose, and that's that veteran mentality that really helps a team like the Mets. They they're kind of flailing. The core players have had a different front office every season. That's not helpful. You can't really form any sort of identity that way. They just play for a different GM every year, what a different GM wants. And now you have someone like JD Martinez coming in as a hitter who's a veteran. The last few years, the Mets had pitchers who were veterans with Scherzer and Verlander. And sure, maybe that helped the pitching staff, but this offense really needed to be grounded and centered. And that's sort of what JD's doing. And then everything else is falling into place. Of course, Lindor has been on fire. His OPS has really picked up. Vientos has been a good spark now that they made that decision of really going with him over Beatty. So everything's coming together. I think they're starting to relax. They're starting to just remember who they are. And I think it helps, but the rest of the NL is just trash right now. Like, they just have so much room to play with. They're so close to even the wild card. It's early. It's still June, but that's got to be a sigh of relief, even just looking at the standings and knowing you're not as out of it as you think you are.
I just was thinking of something from over the weekend that I blanked on, and it came back to me because I've been talking about how finally the Mets are taking advantage of the universal DH. Finally, they actually went out, bought a bat, and that guy is coming through. And it's like, oh, what do you know? Actually going out and finding a DH, a professional hitter, can come up clutch, literally win you some games. We were going through the names of like Dom Smith, Daniel Vogelback, Darren Ruff, and I couldn't think of Tyler Naquin's name. That name just came back to me.
That goes back to the front office, right? Like, now that they have someone in charge who they just fully trust, like David Stearns, it makes it easier. Plus, he is making the right decisions. That was such a smart move to get JD. And really at the buzzer, it was late into spring training, and that's sort of why he even came late. You can wonder how different their season would have been if JD was on the lineup on opening day. But now that he's here, this is exactly what they needed to do. They finally have a hitter, and really I think fans 2 weeks ago were expecting JD to, that's it. This is his final couple of weeks on the team. He's going to be traded at the deadline. They'll get something good back for him. No, if the Mets keep playing like this, he's not going anywhere, and he's the type of player that even he's healthy and he's hitting like this, he can power them all the way to September contention. So I think this is all working out. I think Mets fans should take deep breaths and just trust that it might work out after a really, really sloppy and hard and painful beginning.
Okay, last thing for you. What do you see? You see the Mets, you know, speaking of the deadline, you see the Mets being buyers or sellers. You see this thing continuing where they're able to get above 500, challenge for that wild card, and at the deadline they go shopping? Or do you see that this is just a flash in the pan, as a lot of Mets fans saying, they're sucking us back in, it's not real, they're not good, it's just a, you know, one good week, and you know, maybe that, you know, they'll get to the deadline and they'll have to punt again like they did last year and sell off?
I think there's just too much to leave on the table if they sell. Like, this is David Stern's first deadline with the Mets. He has the opportunity to shape the future of this organization. And guess what? Steve Cohen is still the owner. He's still a billionaire, and he's still passionate about this team going all the way. And I'm sure he's liked what he's seen these last couple of weeks. So as of now, I definitely see them being buyers. They're in a good position because they have a bunch of one-year rentals. So even if they don't sell, they're fine. They're not going to get too much back for these players if they were to. The Pete Alonso is the big elephant in the room, but I don't think they're going to go there at the trade deadline, even if they were more than. If there were 20 games back, I still really don't see him being traded right now. I think they should just wait and see what he decides in the offseason. Pete might be surprised by the offers he's getting. They might not be as high as he thought they'd be, and they might just end up hanging on to him. So I think they're in a good spot. I think they're going to go maybe buyers, but I definitely don't see them selling. It's more of like a stand pat or just like one big pickup. Yeah. I can see that happening.
It's a business. They're getting fans to come to the ballpark now. The team is winning, and the weather's warmer, and you don't want to break these Mets fans' hearts by trading Pete Alonso in mid-July. You want to keep them there and then let the future be whatever it's going to be, because like you said, Steve Cohen's still a billionaire. If he decides he wants to keep Pete, he can outbid everyone.
Yep.
Great. Hey, great having you, everyone. This is Disha Thosar. Follow her at Disha Thosar. She writes for Fox Sports, covering the Yankees, the Mets, MLB. DT, well done. Thank you for joining us tonight.
Thanks so much, Keith. Anytime.
This is the sound of captivity. This is the sound of rescue. And this is the sound of freedom. Give Armenia's captive bears a second chance by supporting International Animal Rescue. Call 508-826-1083 or search The Great Bear Rescue to learn more.